Yesterday we heard my son giving a story to us. Well, today I'm going to give you a very short story. And I suppose that my story really starts on the 4th of July, 1976. That was when the United States commemorated its 200th anniversary. One of the celebrations dedicated to mark the occasion was an exhibition of paintings depicting the highlights of America's development as an independent nation. Some of the more modern artists were present and standing in the vicinity of their artistic works. And the exhibition was attended by very many prominent people, one of whom was, in fact, the President of the United States. The President toured the display throughout the gallery with the exhibition curator. As the President came to one of the pictures, he stopped, and an expression of bewilderment crossed his brow. Before him was a large landscape canvas, on which was depicted a scene showing undulating hills and a river which appeared to be flowing from left to right, beginning slightly up on the left-hand side and flowing down to the right-hand corner. On the right-hand side, there were a number of mounted men in blue uniforms, some of whom had swords at their sides. There were also, to their left, a number of men who had dismounted and had taken up defensive positions, some prone, some kneeling, and some standing, and all with rifles to their shoulders. And they were all looking across the river at the oncoming scene. Across the other side of the river, there were a number of horsemen in blue uniforms racing their horses back towards the river to get back to their fellow officers. Behind them was a multitude of Native American Indians. And these Native American Indians appeared not to have feathered headdresses, but headdresses which appeared to be flames of fire. In the river, there were a number of fish. In fact, there were several fish. And each fish had a halo above its head. And these fishes were also looking at the oncoming Indians. And as I said, each fish had a little halo above its head. And we have been fortunate, as you see, in order to obtain a watercolour copy of this particular painting, at very great cost, I might add. Now, the President looked puzzled and asked the curator what this picture represented. The artist, being nearby, was called over to talk to the President about his painting. And this is what he said. "Thank you, Mr. President. This picture depicts the last known words of Lieutenant General George Armstrong Custer at the Battle of the Little Big Horn on the 25th of June, 1876, when he uttered those immortal and inimitable words which have passed into the American folklore, when he said, 'Holy mackerel, look at those flaming Indians.'" Now, whilst there may be many here who would actually doubt the veracity of these words, the words found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and verses 1 to 14, are sure to come to pass. The whole house of Israel will be resurrected to physical life once more, and we will turn there, and we will be witnesses of this wonderful event. My purpose today is to set the scene for this day, because in many ways, this day, this last great day, is the culmination of the first part of the great plan of our wonderful, loving, creator God and Jesus Christ. My overall purpose being to show that this day, this last great day, will for the vast majority of mankind be their day of salvation, because this is the time when all who have ever lived, with the exception of those who responded to the call during the lead-up to the feast, to the lead-up to the millennium, and who responded to that call, will be here, raised to physical life, and they will have the opportunity to learn the way that leads to eternal life. As I mentioned a moment ago, we will now turn to the book of Ezekiel and we will read verses 1 to 13. And here the prophet Ezekiel describes a scene that will come to pass for the whole house of Israel. And that will include George Armstrong Custer and the 265 men who perished with him on that fateful day in 1876. Now here we are in Ezekiel chapter 37 and beginning in verse 1, where we read the following. The hand of the Eternal was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Eternal and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in this open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord Eternal, you know. Verse 4. And he said again unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus saith the Lord Eternal unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord Eternal, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they are dry. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Eternal, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Eternal, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. 32 years ago, on this day, Mr. Armstrong gave his last sermon. It was, at that time, the culmination of his life's work. His subject for the day was the meaning of this day, and the fact that God's purpose is to create a family of God beings. The words given in Ezekiel picture the resurrection as it occurs in the valley of dry bones, the bones of the whole house of Israel. This is going to be their day of salvation, and not only for them, but for virtually the whole of mankind. The only exception being, as I said before, those who responded to God's calling during their lifetime, prior to and during the millennium. If we now turn to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, we'll find another scripture that applies to this time. All of mankind will no longer be subject to the influence of Satan, because he will have been restrained and not allowed anywhere near anyone at this time. And here God says that in Joel 2 verse 28, And it shall come to pass in the last day that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. As these words state, now is the time when God will pour out his Holy Spirit on the whole of mankind. Humanity will no longer be cut off from God. Satan will have been banished and totally unable to influence anyone at this time. For the first time, all those resurrected to physical life will experience physical life, but this time cut off from the adversary, Satan the devil. Scripture appears to indicate that this time will last for 100 years. Then, and only then, at the close of that time, will all these people then be judged. Please turn with me now back to the book of Isaiah, and we'll read from chapter 65 and verse 20. It is here that we find the allusion to the actual time scale involved, and that will be 100 years. A full picture of this time can be gleaned from lesson 31 of the Bible Correspondence Course. Here in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20, we read these particular words. There shall no more thence be an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. From the words that Isaiah was inspired to write, this appears to be, or appears to point out and confirm, that this period will be about 100 years. No Satan to distract or tempt anyone, so that each person is guided by God's Holy Spirit. Those people will be able to choose to do that which is right in the sight of God. There will be teachers there to guide them as well, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Or don't sort this problem out that way, do it this way. Billions of people from every age being shown the way to live, the way that leads to eternal life. Jesus Christ stated that this is not just for those of his time when he worked on this earth as a human being, but the people of ancient Tyre and Sidon and Nineveh would be there as well. And even as all men die, the same all will be made alive through Christ. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for those who are interested. And that is a paraphrase of it. George Armstrong Custer and his men, and all who perished in the wars mankind has fought throughout history, will be resurrected to a physical life, free from the influence of the adversary who has sought to destroy mankind. He, Satan, will at this time learn just how futile trying to derail the plan of God really is and really has been. And now, if we go back to Ezekiel chapter 37, we will read the first part of verse 14, where God says that after he has resurrected all mankind, he says, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. As Mr. Armstrong said all those years ago, now at last the Holy Spirit will be open to them, and God will put his Holy Spirit into them at this resurrection. Once again, it is appointed for all men once to die, but after this, the resurrection. And that is the end of the quote. This is the resurrection pictured by this day. For many, it will be like waking from a terrible nightmare, seemingly so real, and yet they will be waking up into paradise, no Satan to distract them, and God will make his Holy Spirit available to all of them, to all flesh, and this will be their day of salvation.